Hey, welcome back to the Buoyant Living Podcast, Enlightenment for Everyday Living. Before we jump into today's episode, I will ask you to join me in a moment of silence as we reflect on the ravaging impact of climate change, visible through and through our communities and across the globe. I ask that you consider what small changes you can make on the household level, within your community, and also a small charitable donation to help the cause. Because I do believe protecting our planet is all our jobs. I should also mention I have my first sponsor. Yay! The men and women of United Resources, hailing from the U.S. Virgin Islands, are currently working on the island of St. John, helping to beautify the island and collect debris since the ravaging hurricanes Irma and Maria in 2017. So if you should see the men and women of United Resources around the island, be sure to say hello and thank them. It's all our jobs to keep our community clean, and I am truly, truly appreciative of their support. So without further ado, let's jump in, shall we? I have been privileged to sit across the room and bear witness to an experience many of my clients have had with fear. Even some, I would say, paralysis, when their limbs went numb and their bodies appeared lifeless before me. In fact, I've had my own experiences with fear. I'll tell you a little bit more about that in this episode. But whenever I'm asked to work with someone who is experiencing what appears at the time to be insurmountable fear, I always ask the question, what is it about that experience are you most afraid of? And I've heard just about every answer you can imagine, from I've never had anyone believe in me, you know, what would happen if I bring my family shame? I would mostly say that much of the responses I've heard whenever that question, you know, what is it that you are most afraid of, is posed, most of what I've heard is this deep-rooted sense of inadequacy. Am I enough? Right? That's most times the question. For some of us, it goes back to being teased in grade school for speech impediment, or special education classes for support with reading. For others, it may be difficulties or having failed the first attempt with a standardized test, whether it be the bar, whether it be the LSAT, the GRE, maybe even going back to high school, the SAT, for the medical doctors, those boards, for the psychologists and social workers boards, right? All those licensure examinations. It may be that you finally have graduated, and now for that professional recognition in your field, you must pass the standardized test, and you are terrified, right? I want to talk a little bit maybe about my experience, particularly with FAIR. So I remember when I applied to graduate school for my doctoral program, even after I was accepted, I felt incredible amounts of fear. And through the program, there were a number of moments I've asked myself whether or not I was cut out for the work. I've wondered how those before me had made it, how they coped, you know, and some point, I don't know, at some point I moved more and more away from just feeling the fear to towards finding ways to cope with the feelings of fear as I experienced it. I remember many of my colleagues speaking about this sort of imposter syndrome, right? That at some point someone will come into the room and they'll be discovered that they did not belong. So I think even after completing all the academic rigor of graduate school, there was still this feeling of, well, would my research be accepted? And what, would I have, will I have the recognition? And so these questions, anyway, I just want us to make very clear, would go on. And I still have many of those questions, by the way, as I am on my last bit of doctoral studies at this point. And so these are things that I continue to deal with and continue to wrestle with. So I will say it's a beautiful experience, but it's terrifying, right? And so needless to say, at some point I got to a place where I decided that I needed to just psych myself up. So I ultimately spent a great deal of time reading encouraging books and as always in meditation and prayer. Those are my go-to things. Inspirational books, maybe some TED Talks, reading, meditation and prayer. Not always in that order, but those are my go-to things. I prayed for inspiration, I prayed for grit, I prayed for encouragement. And at some point, I even began sleeping with my palms upwards, wide open, as though I was waiting to receive an overflow of knowledge from the divine. I'm going to say that again. I began sleeping with my palms open, facing upward, waiting for some divine knowledge to be placed in my hand, like descend from the heavens onto me. I needed to believe I can complete the rigors of graduate school, but I don't know that I always believed it was in me. And so I really was seeking this external force, this external gift to help me through. Some of you might know exactly what I'm referring to, and I'm gonna ask you to hang out with me in the comment section so that because I'd love to hear your experiences and share share minds and how we can support each other, specifically with that part of the experience for those of you in graduate school. But what I want to talk more specifically about is at some point after all the prayer, meditation, and sleeping with my palms wide open, waiting to receive some divine knowledge, at some point it occurred to me that I no longer had this crippling experience with fear, right? In fact, I started to see myself almost more like conduit. One of my favorite authors actually speaks a great deal on this. You may know her work, Elizabeth Gilbert. She wrote Eat, Pray, Love. And Elizabeth speaks extensively of the flukish fame that came from that novel that eventually was turned into a movie. She speaks extensively about that. And Elizabeth, if I may recall, she talked about having bombed the book thereafter. And she either was going to be known for that bestseller, but it would require that she stop writing at that point in time, or she will be known as a writer who never wrote another bestseller of its kind, right? And so there was this sort of dichotomy. Do I continue or do I just stop here and let that be, the fame that I live out on? So Elizabeth has quite a bit to say on this topic, and so I encourage you to maybe consider listening or watching her TED Talk or maybe even reading her book, Big Magic. Those are some important knowledge sources, I would say. But Elizabeth has helped me, if I could describe, to maybe reconceptualize my experience with fear. I want to say in her book, Big Magic, she speaks a bit about the beliefs that the Romans have. And she talks about this idea that the Romans never believed that they were genius, but instead they believed that they had a genius, and that they, in this belief of having a genius, it meant that somehow this inspiration was outside of them and it was given to them, it was, you know, bestowed upon them to aid in their labor, right? And somehow I've come to embrace that belief, unbeknownst before I had read a bit about what she had spoke about in Big Magic. I want to say, once I read that, I thought, oh my gosh, that's exactly my belief system. I recognized it because I remember at some point sleeping arms palm up, waiting for some divine intervention, because I knew what I needed to, the task that was before me. Just, I did not feel like I was capable, and it felt like I needed some greater support. And so I want to come back to that, and then, so that's kind of a bit of how I kind of made it through graduate school for the most part. But this is also something that I think about when I'm working with my clients. Whenever my ego gets in the way and I'm thinking I'm doing such an incredible job, I just have this gentle reminder that, you know, that somehow if I quiet myself enough, I can be the vessel, the inspiration will come through me. And so no longer did I have to worry about, you know, I had to place a value on whether or not I was going to bomb that test, or if I will hit it off with the client, if my intervention would be good enough. I did not have to worry about that anymore, which meant worry so much with my fear anymore, because once I became clear that I'm just a conduit for what inspiration need to come through me, then all my role was is to be quiet enough to get out of my own way, to leave the fear-based thoughts, put those fear-based thoughts down and clear my space and lay with palms upright so that I can receive the inspiration as it comes in. And so that's a practice that I have come to develop and really rely on. So the next time you have an experience with fear, I want to ask you to just sort of get out of your own way. Feel the fear and be present anyway, because only then you can experience your courage. And what I know for sure is brave people do experience fear. In fact, they have a very intimate relationship with their fear. So I no longer believe, right? I no longer hold this belief that all these ideas originate with me, that, you know, I'm some genius. Instead, I now believe if I do my diligence in clearing my space, metaphorically speaking, whether it's a physical space, mental space, by getting out of my way, by quieting my mind on those rare occasions, inspiration will come. The inspiration gods will pay me a visit and I will complete dissertation. I will, you know, have a successful podcast. I will, right? Because my intentions are in alignment with the highest good, not just for myself. So when I think about even my dissertation topic and I think about the research I'm producing, that's not really for me, right? And so, and when I think about all the clients I sit across from, it is a privilege to sit and bear witness to someone else's suffering. And that's a gift. And more times than not, there's some inspiration that's moving through me in words that are coming out of my mouth that I know I'm not responsible for. And so once I'm clear that all I need to do is be the vessel, there's no reason for me to fear and run away. Instead, I can feel the fear and run towards. So I embrace this wisdom wholeheartedly. And I'm going to ask you to consider how you may need to move out of your own way, feel the fear, and do it anyway. And so with palms upward, I say, let the universe have its way with you and ready yourself for what's to come, because the inspiration is going to come and move through you. And so it is. Thanks for joining me on today's episode, the Buoyant Living Podcast, where we discussed how to move through life with fear, more grace, more ease, more flow. And this episode, again, was brought to you by the sponsors, United Resources, where they are working diligently in the Virgin Islands to clean up all the debris from Hurricanes Irma and Maria. So if you should see them around town, be sure to say hello and thank you. Again, I'm a firm believer that protecting our planet is all our jobs. So whatever you can do within your home or in your community, do your share. It will go a far way. Make it count. And until next time, take good care of yourselves. Be you, be buoyant. And if there is a topic you'd love for me to cover, hang out with me in the chat and send me a message on buoyantliving.com. I'd love to hear from you. Until next time, take care.